day, which is a very special day for me, as I go back in time 19 years ago, and 19 years ago today, right, that was March 12th, 1 o'clock, 2002, yes, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, coming up here, 19 years ago, I was saved by the grace of Almighty God, and I was changed and made a new creature in Christ. And that's why I preach that gospel that changes men's souls. That gospel that saves men from sin and darkness and wickedness and vileness. And 19 years ago today, I was saved by the grace of God. The Lord came into my heart and saved me and changed me and made me a new creature in Christ. That's why my life verse, which took me a while to figure out that was my life verse, by the way. People used to ask me when I first started preaching, what's your life verse or what verse? You know, I didn't have one really. But then years later, God showed me, well, it's this one. It's if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I'll tell you what, last night when I went to bed, the old devil was fighting me. He's been fighting me for everything that I'm doing right now. That's how I know I'm on the right track. Because the devil is fighting me like you wouldn't believe. And going after me, heating up that anxiety and things that I've been through. And all those things that have happened in my life and everything like that are going on right now, decisions that I'm making and ministry things and pressing on the upward way and all the things that I'm doing for the, and Satan is fighting me every inch. And that's how I know that I'm on the right track. That's how I know. Not like Toby Mac. That's how I know. But by the living word of God, that's how I know. Danielle asked a question about on the chat about Carl. Danielle, Carl probably got kicked off of his Facebook account, so he messages under Mary's name. All right, so that's both of them. Mark and Susan, how are you? Glad to have you on the chat. Hope you are doing well. So anyway, I want to testify of the Lord's goodness. I want to testify of all that God has done for me in saving my soul and changing my life and making me a new creature. And you know, no matter how I feel sometimes when I get up in the morning or I go to bed at night or the lack thereof, whatever the trial or the struggle is, the Lord has been with me through it all. In my darkest time, in my most desperate times, God has been with me to lift me up out of the darkness. To bring me through those things and with thorns and thistles that he's allowed me to have in my flesh that I needed. All of those things that God has done in my life and in my heart to build me up in my most holy faith. God's shepherds can't serve him without thorns. God's people have to have thorns, but God's shepherds have to. In order to be like Christ, they got to have thorns. They got to have the enemy come after him in a most peculiar way, as Jesus did. And I'm going to tell you what, when you pastor, you get some strange things. Can you guys hear me okay? Am I coming in loud and clear? I'm clipping here. Hopefully I'm coming in loud and clear. The volume was a little bit down before, but I could see myself clipping, so I know I'm coming through okay. Anyway, pretty sure I am anyway. My wife thought that I was not loud enough. And that's really unheard of for me, that I'm not loud enough. That doesn't happen very often. Very rarely do I have anybody tell me, you're just not loud enough. We can't hear you. All right, good. Loud and clear. We've got Teresa. We've got Joe. We've got Mary. We got Carl posing as Mary. That's kind of weird. We won't get into that. We've got Carrie on here. We've got Becca. My wife's on here somewhere. We've got Peter, Danielle, Brandon. All right, we got a bunch of people on chat here. Brother Andrew, he's on here somewhere. He's listening, and he just texted me on another format and says, I can hear you loud and clear, man. You're so loud, you're going to blast my eardrums out. I'm going to get fired, you're so loud. Well, don't get fired now. He didn't say that, but I just... making sure of that. Look. Look, Peter likes making fun of me. He likes to give me these jabs. Look, Peter. You can make fun of me all you want to. Just remember, I got the microphone and I can do a lot more damage. Just remember that. You just remember that, Pete. Good old Pete. You remember that. Yeah, right, Carl, whatever. Quit making stuff up. He's posing as Mary. Yes, he is. Don't make stuff up, Carl. We can see it. It's plain to see. If we go by the evidence that's in front of us, you're posing as Mary. That's just, look. That's just the way it is. All right? Let's not get angry about that, Carl. Now, let's just go with the facts, Carl. That's the way it is. Not my fault, Carl. I didn't make it up. I'm looking right at the facts right there, Carl. The facts don't lie. All right. So, how's everybody doing on Friday here? Hope you're doing well as we dig into a few things here today and see what happens. It's a very brisk morning here in Minnesota. It's kind of chilly out there. And it was 33 degrees. But that's okay. We're going to get warmer here. You know, Sunday, I think, if they didn't change it yet. Let's see if they didn't change it. They didn't. Saturday, 57 degrees tomorrow. 57 degrees. That's almost enough to make a Presbyterian shout right there. Almost. Not quite. That's enough to make a Puritan shout. Well, maybe. Probably not. They don't do very good at shouting. So I think, unless they're George Whitefield, which was sort of Puritanesque. What's up with the weird rainbow? I did see that picture. All I could see is that rather large animal on your chin, Carl. That's really all I see, though. Carl, I see a really large animal on your chin. And a very furry, large animal. That's all I could see in the whole picture. Very furry. Very large. Right? That's all I see. It's Friday and... And seeing how it's Friday and everything, we ought to just remember this for old time's sake. Let's see if we can. There it is, right.
My friend came to the door. She said, well, I was on the phone cooking me and my baby some breakfast. And she said, hey, something wrong. It's popping. I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, no. So the girl come downstairs. She come out her apartment with her baby with no shoes on. I said, oh, girl, it's cold outside. She said, something ain't right. I said, oh, man. She said, oh, man, the building is on fire. I said, no, what? I got my three kids and we bounced out. We ain't going to be in no fire. Not today.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. Not today. Right? Right there. That's what I'm talking about. Right there. Just ain't happening today. That's right. You're about to be in no fire like that. Not today. Still funny. All right, payday. I love payday. Payday Friday for Daryl. I love payday. Candy bars? Oh, no, you mean actual payday. Hell, it's always fun to get paid, that's for sure. Amen. It is payday. Well, we've played some good songs. We've had some good laughs here. I suppose it's probably time for me to get to something here. It is Friday, so, you know, Whoops. Let's see here. See if I can find something I was looking for here. Wonder what this does. Oh, yeah, that's what I was looking for. Let's put that over here, though. See what's on here. I have no idea what this is. I better stop looking at stuff. I'm going to, like, break something. That's what's going to happen. So it always happens, I break stuff. Carrie, where do you live? How is the economy that bad? Like, here, you can literally walk down the street and have a job in, like, 3 seconds. They're, like, begging people to go to work. I'm telling you, you're going to have to go on the road. If you can't find work where you're at, you got to go on the road, man. Just the way it is. Just the way it is. You got to go on the road. No other way around it. No other way around it. Got to go on the road. I can't believe there's no... It's weird because maybe it's just such a bad area. This is not that bad of an area here where we're at. So we don't have... I mean, Virginia's economy is that bad? I didn't know that. Why can't you go on the road? Like, literally everyone's hiring here. Move here, then. Andrew's company needs CDL drivers. Stat! Right now. That means right now in, like, really fancy terms. I learned that. Look, they'll even hire your mom right now, man. They need people. I wonder how I do this. Hold on, I'm going to try to find something. That's such a good rant. There was a place I thought I had something. Where was that at? I guess it's not here. Oh, well. Oh, here it is. That's Brandon. All right, amen. That was pretty cool right there. Let me tell you what, that's... What happened to my... Okay, let me see. Oh, yeah, let's move that over here. Here we go. There we go. There we go. Now we're getting people on here. That was... I had to give you Brandon's laugh. I had to. And you should be able to, for CBD oil, you should be able to take a specific test that proves that there's no THC in that and that that's not a danger to any driving. There's tests that can be taken for that, and they're worth paying for. To get a job, they're worth paying for. That's what I'm talking about right there. We just believe in fighting on, soldiering on, getting through it, getting it done. We're about ready. We're about ready to go to 1 Samuel chapter 8 here. We're about ready. This mid-morning. This mid-morning here for you childrens. Right? Nobody's saying you're using drugs. He's saying that that's for a company. You need to wake up and listen to, you know, I'll tell you what I can't stand. And you can get as mad as you want. You can shout or pout. I get paid the same. It don't matter to me. What I don't like is people with that, is people that just give up, roll over, and die. Don't do that. And then don't expect me to help you do that. Because I'm not gonna. I'm gonna show you the solution to the problem and make you work hard towards it. I'm not gonna give you an excuse. I don't do that. I pastor people. Look, I had a guy come to me in a stinking wheelchair that could barely do anything. I had another guy come to me that hobbled up, that he was a mess. His body was broken down. He could not do anything. In fact, I watched his back go in spasms. And fall over and go into attacks and everything else. And guess what? He's now making $70,000 a year of selling cars. Okay, so I don't do that. I don't do that with people. The other guy is looking at a career, got two hips, his name's Aaron. When he came to me, he didn't have a pocket. He didn't even have any clothes, barely. And And now he has a place to live, he has a wife, and he has two children. See, I don't do that. I don't do that giving up thing. I don't do that. I don't help people give up. I don't do that. And I won't do that. And if somebody gets mad at me, so be it. I believe what God taught me is that you persevere, you keep going, and you make it happen by God's grace, and God will make it happen. But you don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. That don't work. You find a solution to the problem. That's what you do. Amen and amen. That's just the way that's. I got men in this church, and every single one of those men understand that. And they have that same spirit. And by the way, the women do too. They just have it in the role that God gave them. I don't believe in giving over to the times and giving into despair and doing that. And don't think that this preacher hasn't dealt with depression, anxiety, darkness, everything you could imagine, because God has allowed me to go through so many of those thorns and thistles. So I'm compassionate to people that are going through that, but I'm not an enabler for people to not persevere, for God's people to not persevere. I'm not. I don't do that. I don't. I'm not that guy. By God's grace, I never want to be that guy. Because I'm going to tell you what, if I allowed myself to give over to that years ago when I battled these things and have continued to battle these things, I would have gave up and I'd have been a bad place. And so would a lot of other people. They wouldn't be encouraged. They wouldn't be edified. They wouldn't be walking in the fear of the Lord, and they wouldn't have a desire to do things for the Lord and to persevere and to push on. You know, it's just, that's the way that it is. That's right, Teresa. You got to press on. You got to press forward. You got to keep moving. You got to keep going. Some people want somebody to hold their hand to help them. Other people, and I'm not accusing anybody in particular. I'm telling you what it's like to pastor people. Some people want their hand held to do right and to help. Other people just want their hand held so they can feel sorry for themselves. That's the difference. I don't enable people to do that. I weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. I do that. God's taught me to do that. So I want to help everybody. I want to help people that are going through hard times and everything like that. But I don't want to enable them to make an excuse for why they can't. I have people that have been through severe depression and fight that and battle that and all those things. And I know what that's like to go through that myself. And I know what that's like to watch them go through it. And I don't let them do that. Giving up and rolling over is not an option. It's not an option. So the only option is to persevere. The only option is to continue on in the faith. The only option is to fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, is to fulfill our responsibilities and get up every day with purpose, with dignity, with honor, and keep moving on. Amen. In a wicked world that literally makes an excuse for everything. And I'm not willing to do that. By the way, I've had to practice what I preach on that a lot of times. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's some days I come in here and I don't want to do anything. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to just sit in the corner and I just want to anxiety veg. But I fight it and I do something. And it's not because I'm some great Christian. It's because I have a great God. It's because I have a great Savior. It's because I have the Holy Ghost of God inside of me that presses me and says, nope, keep moving on, pilgrim. Keep soldiering on. Keep battling on. Keep moving on. Keep fighting on. You don't have a right to stop. You know? You don't have a right to give up. You don't have a right to give in. But you have a duty to walk with the Lord. You have a duty to continue on in the faith. You have a duty to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. That's our duty. Not just for us around us, but for others. And I'll tell you another thing. Some of you single people, you ought to be working as hard as you can right now while you are single. You men, while you are single, to prepare for a wife. So you ought to be working hard. You ought to be putting the most time in. You shouldn't be lazy and you shouldn't be bumming around. You should be getting things done. You should be working hard. You should be preparing for a wife. You should be looking to your future. So, anyway. All right. Well, we're going to get into some scripture here. 1 Samuel chapter 8. There's a word that I was looking at today, and it's twice in the King James Bible. And after I got done looking at it, I started looking a little further. And it was in my normal Bible studies. And as I looked a little bit further, I was like, wow, what this word means is pretty amazing. So it got me thinking. Amen, Brother Carl, and God's going to bless you for that too. God's going to bless you for doing that. And he already has, but he's going to bless you in the future for that. Hard work is always blessed by God. Continuing on, being busy is always blessed. But I want to show you these two words. Or this one word, and then we're going to get into what it actually means, what was happening here. So the backdrop of it is this. 1 Samuel chapter 8, turn there in your Bibles. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Okay? And the backdrop of what's going on in this is that Samuel has been judging Israel, and Samuel is old. And I'll read the verses to you and give you an idea of what's happening. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods. So do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice. How be it, yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. the Bible is dealing with here something that is very important for God's people, especially God's men, to understand and to learn. And that's solemnly. That's solemnly. Solemnly. What does that word mean exactly? It's twice. God says it here. And Judah spake unto him, saying, the man did, Judah says this, the man did solemnly protest unto us. So being solemn and protesting are two things that are connected. That protesting is the same thing as preaching in that sense. Okay? For some reason, I can't get this to work. I don't know what Luke and those guys, I don't know, maybe Andrew can fix this. But somehow, they make my thing disappear, and I can't get my Webster's 1828 on this. I don't know how they did it. But they did it somehow, Luke does, and every time it erases it, I never can get it back. I can never find it. So maybe Andrew can show me how to do that. You know, maybe he can show me how exactly to do that. But later, because I can't figure out where it just like disappears on that program for some reason, and I can never find it again. But anyway, so I'm going to show you in Webster's 1828 dictionary directly because I can't find it any other way. So. Somebody's asking me a question here. Let's see here. We're going to look at this word. Solemnly. Can you say it? I think you can. Here we go. Solemnly, with gravity and religious reverence, let us solemnly address the throne of grace, says one, with official formalities, with due authority. So in other words, to speak or to protest to them solemnly is to do so in a very serious way. And preachers are called to preach in a very serious way. They're called to preach in a very serious, sober way. Right? That's what God has called them to do. Now, with formal gravity and stateliness, or with affected gravity, with religious seriousness, so with a seriousness and a soberness, right? That's what God wants us to do. I solemnly declare myself innocent, says one. So it means to speak with authority, with due, you know, and I got to thinking about that, all right? I got to thinking about that issue of authority then. Because here's what protest God said to Samuel. Now, Samuel, they're rejecting me, not you. And that's good for us to remember, right? Because sometimes we forget that. As preachers, sometimes we forget that men are rejecting God. As a pastor, it's easy to get really, you know, self-absorbed in that and take the blow and not remember that you're taking those blows for Christ, that it's for the gospel's sake that that's happening, that you're being rejected. Right? And it's important to remember that. It's important that we remember that. And you as a Christian, that you remember that. So that word solemnly, it has the same idea and the same word as speaking with authority. So he's telling them, God is telling Samuel, you speak with authority to them. And you warn them, you protest to them solemnly. That you'll give them what they want. But they're going to regret it. Because what they're doing is based on rejecting God. And that's really the biggest thing that Israel was in trouble for. Israel got that king. And Israel got that king because they rejected God. And because they rejected God, everything got nasty and bad in Israel. They had a murderer for king. God told them what he would do, what Saul would do if he gave them a king. God told them. He told them what would happen. He told them what would happen, and it did happen, just like God said it would. So that word authority was very interesting. The Bible talks about that in Matthew 7:29 about Jesus. And it's important that preachers speak with authority. Our authority is the Word of God. Our authority is the Bible. If we speak this book, then we speak it upon authority. Not the way we feel, not this, not that, but we speak it upon authority. The Bible says, for he taught them as one, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. What's the difference? I'm going to tell you what the difference is. So the scribes, they had all the facts, right? And they would teach people and they could give you that information dump. Okay, they could give you all the info you wanted. They could give you all those things that you wanted. All that information, all that kind of stuff. They knew all the facts. They knew everything. What didn't they have? Power. They didn't have any power in when they spoke. Right? They weren't They didn't speak as one that had authority. So whatever they said, the people, they were like, eh. But when a preacher, when you know a preacher's walking with God and you know they have this book and they preach this book, they preach it with authority. And men's lives are changed by it. That word authority is interesting. It can mean a number of things. Legal power. Or a right to command or to act as the authority of a prince over subjects. Jesus had all power and authority that was given to him. Right? All power and authority was given to him. So when God's preachers speak, they need to speak with authority. Right? That's what they need to do. That's what God has called them to do. So there's that's what they stand up and they preach the word of God in your family, in your home, as you lead your family and your children. You can, as a lady, you could do it with a meek and quiet spirit, a humble spirit, but you speak with authority. You parent your children with authority. The authority of the word of God. That's what you do. And that's how you speak. And that's how a father should speak. That's how a husband should lead his wife. That doesn't mean you don't do it lovingly. Look, I make decisions for my family as the man of the house. As the leader. But that doesn't mean I run roughshod over my wife and treat her like garbage. I still care what she thinks. But when it comes to thus saith the Lord, I don't have any wiggle room. I can't give in to her feelings. Over what's right. And I'm not saying she wants me to. I'm just saying I'm giving an example. That I can't do that. I've got to follow the Bible. I've got to follow God's word. And I've got to speak it with authority. Influence of character or office is another one. Authority of a prince over subjects. And of parents over children. That's a, you speak it with power. You speak it under ruling. Right? I think of those that are in different situations that they're in. A doctor, when you talk to a doctor, a lot of times they speak with authority. They're like an author on the subject, so to speak. They're an authority on the subject, right? They understand what they're talking about. So it's just like Joshua is my chiropractor, right? And when he talks to me, I have to listen to him when he's explaining things to me. Why? Because he understands it. He's a doctor. He's learned chiropractic care and he's learned how to help people. And if I want to be helped, I got to listen to him. If I ignore his instructions and if I ignore what he's talking about, it'd be the detriment to my health. So when he speaks, he needs to be encouraged also that he speaks with authority. when he tries to help people. Right? He doesn't need to speak to apologize to them or to me. He doesn't have to apologize to me. Right? That he has to tell me things that I don't want to hear. No, he's got to speak it with authority. Right? A mother has to do the same thing when she's guiding her children. When she doesn't put up with any nonsense or any wickedness out of their mouths. Corruptness of speech. She takes the Bible, she gives them instructions, and tells them, no, you're not going to speak like that. And she speaks with authority. You know what's hated today? People that speak with authority. There's so much apologizing going on today in America for everything. White people are supposed to apologize for being white. Or for something they said 40 years ago. Right? But you know what? We can't apologize for these things. No one wants to speak with any authority today. If they do, they're afraid of what's going to happen to them. Right? So they're not supposed to speak with any authority. No, you can't speak with any authority, right? So preachers today are run around apologizing. One preacher got up there and I mean, he went, I would say probably too far with some of the things that he said, but he was like, Christian women ought to take care of themselves and they ought to look nice and they ought to take it so they could be, you know, attractive to their husbands. And he went too far and he said, oh, you got to be like Melania Trump or whatever, who's fake. If she got close to a fire, she'd melt. But I wouldn't want anything fake like that. But anyway, but the point is a lot of what he said wasn't wrong, but then he went too far with it. But think about this way, what he did say. He said that they ought to be available to their husbands, talking about the marriage bed, talking about all those other things, talking about that kind of stuff. Was it wrong? No, it wasn't wrong. What did he do? He went to counseling. He went to counseling. That's what he did. Like they pressured him into going to counseling. Like he actually cared what they thought. He actually cared what they thought that much that he was like, oh, well, you need counseling because you want, by the way, I actually believe that Christian women ought to take care of themselves. I do think they should. I think Christian men ought to take care of themselves. But I think Christian women ought to take care of themselves. I'll go on record to say that. I think they ought to eat right. I think they ought to take care of themselves. I think they ought to look nice. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not a sin, by the way. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And I'm not saying that they ought to look like a Barbie doll. I'm not talking about that. You don't have to look like that to look nice, to take care of yourself, to take care of your health. Amen. So, You know, what's going to happen if you talk like that? Well, for me, nothing, because I'm going to do it anyway. Because God will take care of me. And if anything, it might cause some women to take care of themselves better to hear it. Because I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm not going to apologize for that. Why would I? Might make some men take care of themselves better too. Nothing wrong with that. So speak it with authority. Speak it by order and permission from God. By order, by permission, by warrant. Or by charge, you could say. Right? 1 Timothy 5:21. Verse 20 says, that then that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partially. Paul says here to young Timothy, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering of doctrine and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. The Apostle Paul giving instructions, charging before God. Amen. Who shall judge the quick and the dead? The quick, the alive, the living and the dead. He charged him, right? I charge thee. Tells him to speak with authority. I like what Paul says to him. We'll get to that in a second here. Jesus spoke with authority. He spoke with power. Look at this. I like this. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Go ye therefore. What does that mean? In the name of, by the authority of. That's what that word means. That's what that means. It says, people say, oh, well, if you baptize in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, if you don't say that, then you didn't do that. That's not what that means. Nothing wrong. I think you should do that. I think it's baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've got no problem with that. You can say that. But it's not saying something that makes it valid. It's the authority by which it is given. It's the authority by which it is given. Under the authority by the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the name of, by the authority of. God wants His preachers to speak with authority. By the way, the only time all power is used like that, you can see that. Whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. God's going to allow him to do that. Marvel not that you must be born again. Praise God for the Spirit of God and the Word of God, the abiding presence of the Holy Ghost through all things. Amen and amen. All right, here we go. Let's see. Let's go back to authority here. Jesus taught them with authority. Jesus said that they were that the apostles weren't to exercise authority over each other, that it wasn't going to be like that. They would be servants. So that's a different, that's talking about rulerships as the Gentiles ruled. And that's not what God wanted them to do. He wanted them to be servants. As a pastor, I'm a servant. You know, when people come here, I try to serve them. I serve them the Word of God. I minister to them. I minister to their needs, just like I'm ministering to you online right now. And the number one way that God has me to minister is in word and doctrine, in prayer, that we may give ourselves to prayer and to the Word. Amen. Okay. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders came unto him, and he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? So here they ask him about authority. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and elders, they asked him, by what authority? And Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing. Right? Right? You know, Jesus said, well, I'm going to ask you a question. Right? He asked them about their authority. Well, who do you do things by? Right? The baptism of John, he says, whence was it? From heaven or men? Or of men? And they reason with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. See, Jesus just threw questions at him. He wanted them to answer, well, what about John? Like, who is he? And his mission? Like, what do you think of him? Because by doing that, they had to answer, and he was going to say, well, I come by the same power as John, by the same place as John. Mark 1:22 says about Jesus, and they were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. For with authority, it says Mark 1:27, for with authority he commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. With authority. That's what Jesus did. He spoke. He spoke with authority. It's how Jesus wants us to speak. Jesus explained to them about authority. Mark 11:33, and the answer said to Jesus, "We cannot tell," right? We went over that one. "For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch." So what did Jesus do? He said, "I left and I left authority." Where's the authority? In his church. He promised that perpetuity, that power, and that authority in his church. Right? That's where the authority. Is to be. It's in the preaching and teaching and leading and the ministry of God's word. It's in the word of God. In his church. Now, authority rests in God's word. We speak it by authority, but God uses his church. So let's get that straight. We're not Roman Catholics. We don't believe that all authority is in the church. No, all authority comes from God's word and God's spirit. All right? We make sure we understand we're not Roman Catholics. We don't believe their doctrines because they're false. "What a word is this, for with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." Authority. Look what Jesus said here in Luke 19:17 about that same parable. "And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. So, you and I need to be faithful in what God has given us authority over now. Because of what he's going to do later. Right? Let's see. I'm going to look for a verse here. Nope, that one's not it. I like this one. "Then cometh the end when he shall be delivered. He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power." Amen. When Jesus comes back, when Jesus sets up his kingdom, then he's going to go to the Father. "And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." Amen. We'll understand it better by and by, won't we? So here's an important verse. It says, "But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." It's talking about teaching in the assembly. It's talking about leading men. "For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." What does the Bible say here? For the woman not to usurp. Authority over the man. Don't usurp his authority. What does that word mean? I'll show you. It means to seize and hold in possession by force or without right to usurp power. Right? So God is given power and authority to the man. And the woman has no right to usurp that authority, to seize it, to take it. You know, I've seen women do that. In America, the culture is set up and fastly set up to where a woman can betray her husband, she can take her children, she can get custody of them, she can put a restraining order against him, or she can threaten him with the police, and she can lead herself and feel free and do all the things that she wants to do, and she can usurp her husband's authority. She's allowed by the law to seize that authority. And it's happening everywhere. It happens in Baptist churches. It happens in Protestant churches. It happens everywhere in America. Right? Happening all over the place. What are they doing? They're usurping authority. By the way, I'm not saying if a woman's in danger, she truly is, and this guy is nuts, and he's wicked as hell, and he's, you know, beating her, and she's got bruises, or he's molesting the kids, or whatever the case may be. I get it. But that doesn't mean that you're allowed to abuse that and falsely accuse men, and falsely and set them up, and that happens all over the place today, by the way. Or just, you don't like your husband leading, and you won't follow him. Some of you women out there, I don't know if you're listening to me or not, but some of you women out there, you don't want to follow your husband. You're not willing to obey your husband. I've had people tell me things like that. Well, I've moved to your church, but, by the way, I've been doing this for a long time, so I've heard a lot. Say, well, I'd come to your church and I'd move there, but my wife won't do it. Wow, so who actually leads that house? Like, that's really... Like, you don't have a problem to be in this church. You got a bigger problem that you got to get dealt with first. Your wife is usurping authority over you. Now, I don't know why she's doing that, whether you've not led, you've been indecisive, you've not done the things you should, you've let things go, or maybe she's just a raging Jezebel. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But I will tell you that if a woman tells you, like, I can't imagine my wife telling me that, well, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do what I want. Or we're not doing that. Right? Like, I couldn't imagine. What an example. What a horrible example that would set for daughters and children and whatever. And by the way, lady, if you think you can't get there, you can if you don't obey the Lord, and if you don't have a personal walk with Jesus Christ, and you're not reading your Bible and praying and seeking God's face and staying close to your husband and loving and being kind and doing the things that God has called you to do. You can do it real easy. You can become somebody that usurps the authority of her husband and says, well, I'm not doing that. Are people that don't want to listen to biblical preaching, like this type of preaching here. I'm going to tell you what. One thing, and I'm not bragging either, but I'm going to tell you one thing that separates this ministry from a lot of ministries out there that makes people not want to listen to me is the line that I draw when it comes to the family, the home, the roles of the sexes, all of that stuff. Because I do take a very hard line against it because I see what's coming. I see what's happening. I have lived my own life before I was married when I was a child. I lived in a home where mom and dad wasn't home watching me. And now this world is 10 times worse. Hey man, I was out in the country. We didn't have internet and cell phones. And I managed to get in all kinds of wicked trouble. I can't imagine, and I don't want to, the level of depravity that children will go through without following God's order. I absolutely can't even imagine it. That level of depravity. So, there's a usurping of the authority. Right? That takes place. And this is one of those things, I'm telling you, it bleeds into everything. This, you want to make a man feel like he's about the most worthless thing in all the world? You just be a wife that usurps his authority. You might as well castrate him. Because that's what he feels like. He feels defeated, beat up, less than a man, not wanted. I know because I've heard from him. I've heard from him. I know. I know what they go through. I see him feel so absolutely worthless. Like there's nothing worse and more embarrassing for them to not be able to lead their wives. And their wives won't follow them, but they embarrass them and they don't follow them. I thank God I don't know what that's like. I do thank God for that. I praise the Lord for that. That's God's grace. It don't have nothing to do with me. It is God's grace. I'm going to tell you what, this type of preaching is where the rubber meets the road preaching. And it does not get a lot of fans. And that's quite all right. To me, that's quite all right. I wish more people would listen to it. Not so I'm popular, but so they'd get right with God. So they don't have the pain and suffering of their family. So their family is not tore apart. And their marriages are not destroyed. And their children aren't devastated. Because I've seen that side of it too. And it's sad. Look at this here. I like this chapter, and I'm going to read you the whole chapter because of it. Because Paul, in the pastoral epistles here, Titus is a pastoral epistle. Paul is instructing young Titus as a young pastor. He is instructing him on what he's to do, what he's to preach, how he's to preach it. Now, I'll start with the last verse, but then I'll back up and read the rest of them. Then you're going to understand the flow. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. So speak it. Exhort. Get to the definition of that. Encourage. Embolden. Cheer. Advise. Incite words or advice. To advise servants. To warn servants. To caution servants. So you're to caution them. You're to warn them. You're to rebuke them. What's that mean? If they're not doing this, you're to chide or reprove them for a fault. You're to check them. You're to check and restrain them. You're to chasten and punish them in that sense. Not in the sense of physical, but verbally. To preach the Bible to them and to warn them. To chasten them with words. To silence them. To reprove them for their faults. You're to blame them to their face. In Scripture, it's chastisement, punishment, or affliction. Now, we don't do the affliction. God does that, but you chide and you reprove them. That's the entire definition of the word. What's applicable in this section is to reprove, to blame them to their face if they're not doing it. That's what you do. He's talking to a pastor and he's telling him that. And he says, exhort them, that's encourage them to do right. Speak to them these things with authority. Exhort them with authority. Rebuke them with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Don't let them make little that message. Don't let them make what you're saying very small and insignificant. Don't let them despise you. So let's back up, and what is he talking about? He's talking about this. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So instruct them in sound doctrine with authority. Tell the aged men to be sober with authority. To be grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Right? So tell the older men, they're not to be old stinky perverts. They're to be temperate. They're to exercise self-control. They're to be sound in the faith, in charity. And they're to have patience with others. The aged women likewise. Titus, you tell them with all authority what their behavior is supposed to be like. You know how scared preachers are today to tell women that? They don't preach on this stuff. Half of them don't preach on any of it. Why? Because it's not easy, that's why. You look at those older women and you tell them, those aged women, that you be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers. You watch your mouth and you be careful not to accuse somebody falsely. Just because you think something's going on, just because you think something in your mind, just because you know something a little bit, you don't be a false accuser. Not given to much wine, don't be a drunk. By the way, it's talking about drinking booze, period, but I'm not going to get into that today. Teachers of good things. You teach them good things. Don't teach them bad habits by your bad example. Right? Don't teach them bad habits. Don't teach by example bad habits. You got to teach good things to them as well. That they may teach the young women to be sober. You teach those young women to be sober. And preacher, you warn them to be sober. You get serious about your walk with God. You get serious, lady, about your raising your children. You get serious, number one, about loving your husband. You get serious about loving your husband. About loving your children. You be discreet. Look, you focus on loving your husband and you focus on loving your children. Exhort them, encourage them, and when they're not doing it, rebuke them with all authority. That you get right back on track where you're supposed to be. You love your husband, you love your children, and in that order, by the way. Because that's God's order. Husband, children. To be discreet. Man, I'm going to have to stop here pretty soon. What does that mean? Prudent, wise in avoiding errors or evil, and in selecting the best means to accomplish a purpose. Circumspect, cautious, wary, not rash. You don't become all emotional and crazy. Right? That's an interesting definition of that. Anyway, but prudent and wise in avoiding errors of evil. That means your conversation is discreet. You're very prudent in your conversation. You don't get into conversations with men that are going to embarrass your husband or embarrass your walk with God. You don't do that. It means you're not found on the internet arguing with men. It's not becoming of a lady to do such things. Chaste. You teach him, preacher, to be chaste. Pure from unlawful commerce of sexes. Applied to persons before marriage, it signifies pure from all sexual commerce. Undefiled. Free from obscenity. You're not obscene. You don't say obscene things. In language, pure, genuine, uncorrupt, and not extravagant expressions. Chaste, pure, holy, separate. You teach them that, preacher. You tell those older women to teach those younger women those things. Keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We've talked about that. We covered it before many times. You teach them by example, lady, because you're a keeper at home. Obedient to their own husbands. It would be a shame for me to hear a man tell me that loves the Lord that says, well, I love the Lord. I want to move to such and such church. Maybe not this one, maybe another one. But my wife, she won't do it. Well, if she claims to be a Christian, then she's wrong. she claims to be a Christian, I'd ask her if she's sure about that. Because last time I checked, the husband is the head of the wife. Not the other way around. It's the tail trying to wag the dog. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So teach those young men to be sober-minded, to be serious. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That means you don't have perverted talk. You don't talk perverted. No one can accuse you of being a pervert by what you say. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You exhort workers, exhort servants that are servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not back-talking, not purloining or running the clock out, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. He's talking about behavior in the church, how God's people, by the way, that's the local New Testament church. The one that people show up to, and attend and are members of on Sunday and Wednesday and all through the week in different activities and different things that are coveted together before the Lord. Not some universal invisible mess out there that doesn't exist, that has no accountability. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. He's saying that, hey, by the way, you know, you said you're saved, and you're saved by grace through faith. Okay, well, this is what grace teaches us. It teaches us to do all the things that I just told you you're to do, and you're to instruct them to do in the church. This is the behavior in the body. All these things. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And they need to be reminded of that, preacher. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Amen. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Look what he says here. And purify in himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These are the people of God. This is what they're supposed to be doing. This is how they're supposed to act. This is how their behavior is supposed to be. And the preacher is supposed to speak it with all authority. He's not supposed to back off. He's not supposed to let it slide. He's not supposed to let them live in sin. He's not supposed to let the children do that. He's supposed to speak and preach it with all authority. That's what he's supposed to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's see. Let me look for something here.
I've never had much in this world below, but I'm going to a city where the streets are pure gold. Christ made me an heir. I'm a child of the King. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Shake hands with a poor boy and how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you. He's the King of all glory. His praises I'll sing.
shake hands with the poor boy who owns everything.
I'm depending on heaven for my home in the sky. Already I'm heading for that sweet by and by. I've been adopted and placed with a king. So shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
Shake hands with a poor boy, and how do you do? Have you met my father? He cares about you.
He cares about you.
Of all glory, his praises I'll sing. Shake hands with a poor boy who owns everything.
He's the King of all glory.
He's the King of all glory.
His
praises I'll sing.
Shake hands with a poor boy
who owns everything.
Owns everything.
Right. Well, you know what? I'm getting ready to take off here, but I'll play one more song if you all want to say something here on this chat before I go. Let's see here. I want to try that one right there.
While you're standing, would you take our hymn book, please, and turn to hymn number 29. I sing the mighty power of God. As Dr. Thompson comes to lead us, let's do our very, very best. Hymn number 29. With joy, church, I sing the mighty power of God.
This is how you get a hold of us. If you need to, sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You go on our sermon audio page. You that are listening on sermon audio know that. Over on YouTube, you might wonder why I'm not broadcasting live. It's because they're a bunch of Nazis, so I don't want to. And, I might do some truck talks here and there, but I'll eventually get kicked off of there. Our goal is to get everything centrally located here at oldpathsbaptistchurch.org. We're going to revamp this website. It won't look like this when we're done. But you can subscribe, name and address here, email address here, so you can get a hold of us. You can find us if you're ever looking for us on Monday and Wednesday. Normally, I will be broadcasting 2 p.m. Central to 4 p.m. Central time. Look for that. I'll send out a blog notice if you're subscribed to our sermon audio page here. If you have the Sermon Audio app and you download it and you just subscribe and put our member ID in there, which is that one right there. If you put that in there, then you'll get all the notices for when we are live. And it should send you something to tell you that we're live. and then you can get a hold of us that way, and that'll be good for you to try to find a way to get a hold of us there. And if you'd like to give to our ministry, you can go on our page here, our sermon audio page, hit give right here, and hit PayPal right there, and you can send us a PayPal to salvationpreacher@gmail.com. It already pulls up the web address right there. If you do that anyway, it'll pull it up right away, and it's there. But if you want to go through our website and you hit the donate button right here at oldpathsbaptistchurch.org, you hit donate here, it pulls it right up, and you can put it in there, and it's fine. You can set it that way. If you'd like to mail us something, go down to the bottom of our sermon audio page here, and you can mail us something right here, and I appreciate that. If you need to get a hold of me, you can email me at pastorcooley@icloud.com, and or you can email me at pastor or at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Appreciate the faithfulness, appreciate the gifts, and your prayers for us as we press on here and move on with everything that we're doing. Please pray for us. Continue to pray that the Lord would bless us financially and to do all the work that God has called us to do. And also continue to bless and meet our needs as I sell my house, look for a property, do a bunch of other things, help my mom and dad sell their house, and take care of them in their older age here as time goes on. So the Lord has really blessed us to be able to do that. We count it as an honor and a privilege to be able to do those things. And you ought to count that, too, and I'll be teaching on that in the times to come. All right, everybody, God bless you all. Take care of yourselves. Have a good day, and we'll see you again on Monday, Lord willing, 2 p.m.